Mutations in Early Man, a spiritual perspective as it relates to Parshas Bereishis Anoach. I am not talking about anthropology, the study of Neanderthals and various theories to that effect. I am talking about pure Torah, adaptations in the physical and spiritual state of the early Doros in Bereishis HaNoach, and really what that says to us. As much as we are a very different type of humanity than Adam, than Dar HaMabel, but what the state of early man says about who we really are and what our aspirations are to be. Because let's understand that mutations in early man are very clear in Chumash. Certainly, Adam pre and post Chareitz Hadas. Adam in Gan Eden pre Eitz Hadas was a very different creature than us, though he is our patriarch. Of course, he had the capacity to live forever. And the Gemara talks about very different specimen, the very different specimen that he was, the large body, the power of Re'iyah vision which he had. And as the Ramchal writes in Tas Tefunos, he was a wholly different creature. Ramchal says that even when terminology such as eating, talking, and the like are used about Adam and Gan Eden, they do not mean eating, talking, and what those capacities mean to us. You're talking about a creature who's just in a different stratosphere. Ramchal also writes that humanity post Eitz Hadas actually resembles where animals were pre Eitz Hadas. Where Adam and Chava were? Totally beyond our comprehension. This is why the Medrash says that the animal kingdom was so taken by Adam and Chava, they thought of him as the divine itself. They wanted to say Shira in front of him. This was a different specimen entirely, Adam. Eitz Hadas is then this cataclysmic mutation. Adam is cut down to size, much more similar to human beings today as we know them. Very feeble, of course, mortal, destined to die, lacking all the spiritual characteristics which so impressed the animal kingdom. No one mistakes a man for God anymore. And with him, the entire animal chain descends. Adam is lower, and hence the beasts are lower, and so forth. This is all well known, but what perhaps is less well known or less appreciated is that even after Eitz Hadas, the mankind at the end of Bereishis, Adam and the 10 generations down to Noah, were a different specimen than us still. The Mabel was a further mutation. Perhaps it's more well known, the observation of Ramban, that you see at the end of Parshas Bereishis, they lived so much longer, hundreds of years longer, in some cases close to a full millennium, which is unknown post-Mabel. And the Ramban talks about perhaps physiological conditions of the Mabel changing humans and the atmosphere, but much more than that. It's not only the longer lifespans of pre-Eitz Hadas. They were They were physiologically different. Midrashim talk about man and Bereishis even post-Eitz Hadas as maturing very, very, very quickly. There's one Midrash which speaks about a child in a position to cut his own umbilical cord as a baby, maturing very quickly. This is an unmistakable echo of Adam pre-Eitz Hadas. Adam pre-Eitz Hadas, who was, of course, an adult from his creation, and even his children were born to mature quickly, as the Gemara portrays. Two would go to sleep at night, man and woman, and three would get out of bed in the morning, the child would mature quick. Well, even after Eitz Hadas, when the maturation was not quite as rapid, but it was a much quicker maturation than our maturation. And I've seen Rav Moshe Shapiro and other great Baalei Machshava note this, how all of these Midrashim taken as a whole indicate that the man of Parshas Bereishis pre-Mabel was much closer to the man of Pre-Eitz Hadas, and then the Mabel changes everything. What I would like to understand is the meaning of these mutations. Why is it significant post-Eitz Hadas that man matures quicker, lives longer, still has Pre-Eitz Hadas characteristics? And why does it change at the time of the Mabel? Of course, you could tell me on a factual level. You could talk about the great deluge and the physiological changes, and you could explain it from that perspective. But I'm less concerned with, as I said before, anthropology and study of facts and events, such as Mabel, but more their meaning, conceptually what changed. Why did Hashem remake and rewire man? What does it say about man's condition today, and ultimately what we aspire to be? And do we aspire to be somewhat close to the original model of pre-Mabel, even pre-Eitz Hadas? So let's dive right into this subject of mutations of early man from a spiritual perspective. Adam, pre-Eitz Hadas, was a creature of symbiosis, of integration between neshama and guf. The neshama and guf were fused as one. As Ramban writes, that is why man lived forever. As much as the body itself would be destined to die, it's natural for the body to ebb away and die. After all, ki ofrata v'yofer tashuv, as it later says. You were dust, so you return to the earth. That is not a punishment. That's the natural physiology of the body. But before Eitz Hadas, explains the Ramban, neshama and guf were so fused, so merged, that the guf took on neshama-like characteristics to live forever. And this is because Adam's great role was to bring Hashem into the physical world. Man is, after all, a combo of not only guf and neshama, but even on a spiritual level, neshama eloki, nefesh eloki, and nefesh habahamas, divine soul and animal soul. We have animal instincts in us for a reason, as the pasuk adamu behema toshiya Hashem says. Hashem saves man and animal, which the Mekubalim say means the human himself is a man and an animal who Hashem saves. Nefesh eloki, nefesh habahamas. Well, that is the healthy model, because the so-called base animal side is part of what becomes Niskanish. And that's why in the original model, even earthly activities, eating, marital relations, were holy, were on that higher plane, there was no stigma attached, no stigma to nakedness, and so forth. And they would live forever. And we understand from this perspective, they were placed in the garden to till the garden. You'll ask, what spiritual meaning is there in tilling the garden? Now, certainly we don't know what Gan Eden is, but what is that pasuk trying to convey to us? How does it touch us? What meaning could there be in doing a bunch of gardening? We think of spirituality as pouring your heart over a Tehillim, or learning a Blat Gemara, or even doing Bikur Cholim, right? But the answer is, in that more perfect world, overt physicality and engagement with the earth itself was the portal of spirituality. I don't know what it means, because I'm a post-Eitz Hadas creature myself. But somehow, Hashem's presence was felt in the soil. Tilling the soil, engagement with the luscious fruits of Gan Eden and all of its consummate physicality, and physicality in the flesh and the expose of the body unstigmatized with which came with it, all of that was the way they experienced the divine. All the portal to divine, which we know through Torah and mitzvahs, they had in the Gan itself. And we understand from this perspective Chazal's statement, La'av de l'shamer, la'av de zu mitzvahs aseh, l'shamer zu mitzvahs lo aseh. Working the garden was mitzvahs aseh. Guarding the garden was mitzvahs lo aseh. This is not some sort of homily, pulling the pasuk out of context and saying, uh-oh, they weren't working the garden. Rather, they were engaged in positive and negative commands. But rather, it is a deeper read of the verse itself. Of the working the garden was mitzvah saseh, that means all of the spirituality we presently associate with tefillin and lulav were in the garden itself, and they accessed it through Torah mitzvahs. And the spirituality latent to not eating basar v'chalav and not wearing shatnez, they accessed in the Gan itself through l'shamra. That's clear because Chazal are reading that into the verse itself. And a lot of this correlation between the Torah and the earth has to do with the fact that Hashem created the world with the divine word, just as he later speaks to his people through the word. And Chazal tell us that the 10 utterances of creation, Asar Mamaram, are connected the Asaras Hadibras. In a certain sense, Torah is the soul within the earth, the body. And when Hashem created the world, there was fusion between body and soul. The 10 utterances of divine word, which are later rarefied and distilled in Asaras Hadibras, but in their original form, they were in body. They were in the world itself. And that is why La'av to L'shamra, Zumit Saseh, Zumit Zeslo Saseh, the divine presence, the Torah, was in the earth itself, and they accessed it through the earth. And they accessed it through pleasure. Gan Eden quite literally means the garden of pleasure. In this healthy symbiosis between neshama and guf, physical pleasure was the medium through which they accessed the divine word, which was in nature itself. Everything changes, of course, with the Eitz Hadas. The Eitz Hadas introduced this confusion. It is a confusion, really, of dissension. Neshama and Guf go their separate ways. As the Pasuk says, they ate and they knew they were naked. And all the Rishonim ask, what does it mean? They knew they were naked. They always knew they were naked. And various explanations are given, but of course the Pshat meaning is, they saw the body as something naked. That was a new perspective. And in truth, really an aberration, not the original perspective. The original says the body's not naked as in a stigmatized body. The body is one with the soul, and that's why it lives forever. The Eitz Hadas created this distortion that body is distinct from the soul, and all bodily pleasures are seen as base rather than holy. And man's body and man's bodily activities can no longer be consummately holy as before he's driven from Gan Eden. And now he has to access the soul, not through the body. The body now is stigmatized. Torah now becomes the rarefied, the distilled soul without the body. The 10 utterances of creation are now distinct in Torah itself. And through Torah mitzvahs, we arrive at the same goal of spirituality and connection to Hashem, but now in a more circuitous fashion, no longer through body itself. And there's a splendid pattern which we could trace from this perspective. There are so many phenomena in Torah which were found in the garden in a more physical form. For example, trace merely a few examples. Eitz Chaim Hilamachazikim, but Torah is called the tree of life in the Pasuk, which we recite every Shabbos. Well, of course, the Eitz HaChaim was Besoch HaGan. The tree of life was at the center of Gan Eden. It's one Eitz HaGan, it's one of the same, because I'll clearly understand it that way, right? Chazal, in the Pasuk, Derech Eitz Chaim, tell us the path to the tree of life of Gan Eden, while Derech is Derech Eretz, which brings to Torah. You see, Chazal are understanding the Eitz Chaim of Gan Eden and the Eitz Chaim of Torah are one of the same. That is because the Torah's Eitz Chaim characteristic, though there is not a physical tree, and there, it is not a study of botany anymore, it is through Havayis Dabai V'Rav and Bavakama and so forth. it is the same fundamental characteristic. And moreover, just like in Gan Eden, side by side with the Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life was the tree of death, the Eitz HaDaas, we find concerning Torah the same two characteristics of life and death side by side. L'meimina basama d'chai, l'masmi'ina basama d'mavas. Chazal say, pursue Torah with the strength and the alacrity of the right side, the right hand. It brings life, the left side brings death. And I think that imagery, right side life, left side death, echoes of Gan Eden, where side by side you have the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDaas right in the middle of the garden. Because after all, the world was created with Torah, as we said. Torah is not only the blueprint of creation, estakel baraisa bara alma, but literally the tool of creation. Torah is called in the Mishnah Novus the kli chemda shebehem nivra olam. Right, Torah, the spiritual essence of Torah, the divine word, is in the world and especially manifesting Gan Eden itself. So that Eitz HaChaim took on a physical form of a tree with shade and limbs to the tree, and so on. Share with you a final correlation between Torah and Gan Eden, or really Torah and the Bria, and the original Bria. Well, at Har Sinai, when Hashem gave us the Torah, the Pasuk says, Agozolo Yirachef, Hashem floated gently without overwhelming us, as though hovered and floated upon us. Well, you find that very terminology, the divine is mirachef, gently floating upon, in the Bereishis story. Veruach alkim mirachefes al pnei amayim, and Chazal used the same imagery, mirachefes, floating, almost like a bird, just like it says in Hazino, Kineshi Yerkino, Agozolo Yirachef. That correlation is very, very significant, because everything in Torah, including the gentleness and the nurturance of Hashem in Torah, Kineshi Yerkino, Agozolo Yirachef, Hashem didn't overwhelm us, but rather like a mother bird, floated upon his people, oh so gently. That took on physical manifestation in the creation of the world itself. He floated and hovered above. And hence Chazal used the same imagery as cited by Rashi in that pasuk. He floated upon the world like a mother bird floats upon her young. So here we have it, a perspective of the mutation of Eitz HaDaas. And we have a certain sense of symmetry. Soul is detached from body and destined to part ways at death. The soul of the world, the soul of the world, the Torah, becomes distinct from the world. It's now in Torah, no longer in Gan Eden. This is where man and Avodas Hashem find themselves today. However, even after that great mutation of Eitz HaDaas, the shift was not absolute. The pattern in Medrash we traced before, that the man of Bereishis pre-model, had many of the physical characteristics and even physical prowess of Gan Eden, living longer, quick maturation, because the body had metaphysical characteristics. That's because Hashem never really shut down the old model. Body and soul together, spirituality through physicality. He merely turned it down a notch. Though man is gonna die, the body is not quite at soul level. But the distance was not so great. Hashem maintained some of the old model, and whatever it meant, again, I don't even know what a pre-model man is, let alone a pre-Eitz HaDaas man is. But somehow the divine was more accessible in the physical, and hence body reflected soul. And this perspective gives cadence and rhythm to the pasuk, which says that even after Hashem banished man from Gan Eden, and man was no longer the matzav la'avdol shamra, working until in Gan Eden, his role was still la'avodas hadam ha'shalukach misham, to till the earth. Man's role is to till the earth? really now? Not to be a moral person, not to be an Oved Hashem? Well, perhaps you'll say on a Pshat level, that is the curse. The curse of Eitz Hadas, which said man is largely going to be occupied with Bezeis HaPecha Toch HaLachem, with Parnasa, and accessing bread. Yeah, that's what man is about today. That's a curse. But I'm not convinced you have to read it that way. Based on everything we developed, that even post Eitz Hadas, we're not living Gan Eden, we don't literally live forever, but the old model of finding Hashem in the physical was still much more manifest, and there was much greater ability to find the 10 utterances of creation, in the Bria itself. Lavras Adam HaShalukach Misham is saying, though he's not in Gan Eden, he still is going to work that earth and find Hashem through that earth. And whatever shaychus, whatever connection to Torah they had in that world, was still through a much more physical portal. And I would suggest from this perspective that it's not a coincidence throughout Bereishis, including after the banishment from Gan Eden, the Torah uses the word das to describe intimacy. Not once, a good several times. V'ha'odam yadas chavishto, in Bereishis Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph. V'yeda kayin es ishto, in Bereishis Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Zayin. And v'yeda adam odas ishto, in Bereishis Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph. Three times over in Bereishis, and in the simple read of the Pesukim post Eitz Hadas, marital relationship is described as das. Now, das is a very infrequent term, or very infrequently used to describe marital relations, which are usually described as simply a physical act by Yavo Eleha, Bia. There are only two other narratives in all of Chumash where we find that term describing marital relations. One in Parshas Vayera and one in Parshas Chayisara. And in Nevi'im you find a reference in Shmuel, a reference in Shoftim. But it's the only Parsha which has many consecutive expressions of marital relationship as Das is Bereishis. That is because the notion that even physical relationship is not simply bodily, but is intellectual and soulful, das was most manifest in Parshas Bereishis even after the Geirush from Gan Eden, I would like to suggest, because they were much closer to that model. So what changed? What changed with Dar HaMabul? Well, I would like to suggest, as is so often the case, the blessing is a curse. The help was the liability. Specifically because the body was so glorified. The body was held on this pedestal of almost soulfulness that led them to the great mistakes of Dar HaMabul. Because they were so asuk with the body, and they were hardwired to be that way through bodily activities, they are supposed to access Hashem. Well, that created an obsession with the body, which in a post-Eitz Hadas world was very, very dangerous. It was a tightrope after Eitz Hadas. Realize the body has now been distorted. You have to overcome certain confusions of the body, which purports to be its own master. It was a tightrope, and a tightrope which they failed to walk. They slipped in this tightrope. And this is why the Averis of Dar HaMabul, and particularly the Gili Harayas, the promiscuity, the bodily activity gone awry, is so marked in that story, and almost described in animalistic terms. When the Torah says, Ki hishchis kol basar astarko, all flesh became corrupted. And Chazal interpret that to mean man and animal alike. It's not simply a statement of fact. Man became carnally corrupt, animal became carnally corrupt, but it's depicting their corruptions together. Man and animal in one fell swoop, all the same became corrupted. The corruption in the animal kingdom and the corruption in the human kingdom was one of the same, because I'm actually suggesting the human and the animal were much closer. The Yotamu Behema Toshi Hashem, Nefesh HaBahamas and Nefesh Elki were much closer, with all the spiritual potential therein, but also all the spiritual liability therein. Because they were so bodily engaged, they fell prey to all of the vices of the body. And we understand now Chazal's statement, Chazal's application really of the pasuk, Nimshol kebehemos nidnu. Man was akin to the body. From here Chazal derived the Dar HaMabul was akin to animals. Nimshol kebehemos nidnu. Let me translate that accurately. Nimshol kebehemos nidnu. They became akin to the animals, and therefore animals attacked them. From here Chazal derived that because man at the time of the Mabul was behaving like animal, was behaving in an animalistic fashion, therefore animals attack them. Along with the Mabul waters, there was actually some sort of attack from the animal kingdom. What that's depicting in a precise way is they were similar to animals, they were debased as animals, and therefore they were attacked by animals. They lost all human dignity, and therefore they fell prey to the phenomena of the animal kingdom, which is the stronger one physically becomes the predator and takes on the victim. They lost all of their humanity due to this model of close synchronicity between Nefesh Elki, Nefesh HaBahami, body and soul. And perhaps this explains another pattern. There is a preponderance of usage of the term basar, describing the victims of Mabul as flesh, again and again and again and again. I count at least 13 references, both at the end of Bereishis when it speaks of b'shegam hu basar, and then in Bereishis vav yud beis ki hishchus kol basar, and vav yud gimel kates kol basar, and vav yud zayin lahashchus kol basar, and vav yud tes Mikol Achayim Mikol Basar, and Perek Zayin Pasek Tes Vav Shnayim Shnayim Mikol Basar, and Perek Zayin Pasek Tes Zayin Vabam Zachar Nekev Mikol Basar, and Bereishis Zayin Chaf Aleph Ayikva Kol Basar, and Bereishis Tes Dalet Ach Basar, and Bereishis Tes Yedalet Vlo Yikarvis Kol Basar, and Bereishis Tes Tes Vav Lamabal Shachis Kol Basar, and Bereishis Tes Tes Zayin Vezacharti brisal and bein alkim uvein kol nevesh chayav b'chol basar, and Bereishis tes parak pasuk yud zayin bein alkim uvein kol basar. Flesh, 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 flesh. This was an attack upon flesh. That is exactly the intention. Hashem declared war on the whole notion that man is a piece of flesh, and the perception of man as a piece of flesh. Man was a piece of flesh due to this closeness between soul and body. And in a sense, this closeness between man and the animal kingdom, I'm going to argue, which might explain why in the pre-Mabul world, man was not supposed to consume the animals. The notion of man as a carnivore is a post-Mabul aberration, if we could call it that. It's not the pure model. Well, various explanations are given, such as the famous Ramban, that it's not an ideal to be to be a carnivore. Man should really be a vegetarian because we learn cruelty when we kill animals. Such behavior can lead us to kill people. But you know, a change had to be made after Mabul. Now that man took care of animals in the Teva, man is a sholi. Man is in control of the animals. So hence, there's a necessity to overwrite the previous protocol, and now man eats animals. Man's on this higher level because he took care of the animals. We have various such commentaries on a pshat level, which of course beckon for more. How do we understand that if the virtue was really not for man to eat animals, because there are liabilities to this violence and carnage of being a carnivore, how do we understand that, but a chance due to another external phenomenon of man having cared for animal in the Teva, right? It seems very discombobulated, chaotic. We really
ought not eat animals. Nothing really changed in that regard per se, but there's an external hater basis. I'm going to argue on some level, the basis for man not to eat animals itself changed. Man was not supposed to eat animals so long as the nefesh al-ki, the nefesh al-bahams, the human condition, was more in line with the animals. Man was supposed to sanctify his inner animal and his inner flesh, and hence he was not supposed to eat flesh. There was much more of a synchronicity between man and animal, even post-Eitz Hadas, in this pre-Mabul world. It's only when they abuse that model, Nimshal Kebehemus Nidmulin, you hear the power of synchronicity here. The Dara Mabul is described as animal-like, and therefore the animals attack them. And that's what changes now the model. Now man fights back. Man was attacked by the animals because he became reduced to eating an animal. Now man has to fight back. Man has to dominate over the animals. You hear how those pieces come together and coalesce in a very, very powerful way. And we also begin to appreciate the whole notion of zoology in the Mabul story. We all have zoology associations with the Mabul story. Noach is taking care of the animals in the Teva. What's going on with that? Man has become a zookeeper. What's going on with that? Right? And especially when you consider they were taking care of the animals day and night. Midrashim portray Shem ben Noach telling future generations, it was horrible on the table. We were taking care of the animals all day long, and there was mooing and baaing and quacking and all, right? How do we understand why Noach, the next patriarch of man, became a zookeeper? Yeah, nice Musar ideas are said, like, to repair a world gone awry, Olam Chasid Yibon, a man had to become loving and nurturing, hence he took care of the animals. But that doesn't justify. That doesn't justify this preoccupation to such a degree with animals for the year of the Mabul. There has to be some deeper meaning, especially when you consider there is so much about man's relationship to the animals that we trace surrounds the Mabul. Man became akin to the animals. Man was attacked by the animals. After the Mabul, he's going to be allowed to eat the animals. Well, somehow him caring for the animals is fitting right into the greater structure. I'm suggesting that because there is a cataclysmic shift going on here in man's relationship to the animal kingdom, but ultimately in man's relationship to himself, man is changing. Man is becoming more detached from his body. And of course, as we said, the body is going to lose soul-like characteristics in this dissension between body and soul. Going to live much less, going to mature slower. The soul is retreating from the body. Man is becoming a moshal, a ruler over his nefesh ha-bahamas. The nefesh ha-bahamas is no longer part of his integral self, but seen as a more external side of self, and even as a foe that's going to lead him astray. So man has to dominate not only his nefesh ha-bahamas, but the animal kingdom. And that is why when he enters the Teva, man now is becoming ruler over the animals, and the entire avodah, the entire preoccupation in the Teva, was man becoming the caregiver over animals. Of course, it is not a domination of aggression. Man is never supposed to be aggressive. It's the contrary. As the Ramban says, he's moshal over the animals through caring for the animals now. Because in the spiritual world, authority is through caring and nurturance of dependence. But a dependent relationship it needs to be. That is the whole tikkun. Noah cared for the animals, and you're on a lower pedestal. And there are three layers in the Teva, as we know. Man on top, animals next, and dung on the bottom to make it very clear, right? Man is on the top. And there is a lower level called animal, and then an even lower level called dung, and the animal is supposed to be seen as a devolution from the animal kingdom all the way down to dung level. That whole hierarchy is by design. It's not merely a statement of fact in the Medrash how they built the Teva. And caring for the animals in the position of authority was resetting this paradigm of man's relationship to the animal kingdoms. Now we have a very powerful coalescing of all these references to man's relationship to the animals, pre-Mabul, during the Mabul, and post-Mabul, which really explains the mutation now body and soul, or godly soul and animal soul within the human composite, is now coming apart. Man's a much more descended creature now, being pulled in different directions between body and soul, and soul must maintain its integrity by not becoming reduced to animal level. And hence, as we said, the body has lost many of its soul-like characteristics, lives less, for much less of a span of time, does not mature quickly, and soul has to maintain itself by veering away from the body. And this now begins to explain to us the entire concept of Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach, the Noachai Motz. The Shev Mitzvahs are fundamentally associated with Noach. Yes, I know from a technical perspective, 6 out of 7 laws, the Gemara Darshans, were given to Noach or Adam already. Only Avram and Achai, don't consume a limb from a living being, which is only relevant to Noach, who's a carnivore post-mabul, was given to Noach, as it says explicitly in the parasha, but the other 6 were given to Adam. That's technically true. But conceptually, these are Zayin mitzvahs b'nei Noach. As the Gemara says, Sheva mitzvahs nitnu l'bnei Noach. There were 7 laws given to the sons of Noach. All 7 are fundamentally Noahide laws. And the Gemara is not simply saying that because the 7th and final one was given to Noach. They are all conceptually Noahide laws. Or to use the words of Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, the formalization of a bris, of a covenant over these laws, was experienced by Noach. The bris ha'eshes, the covenant of the rainbow, in which it says the word bris 7 times, explains Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, was formalizing these Shev Mitzvahs. Adam's relationship to any of the 7 mitzvahs was much more informal. The mitzvahs were formalized to Noach. Noach is, Noach and his new world are fixated and focused on Zion mitzvahs. Why is that true? Well, this has a lot to do with understanding that before the Mabul, they were living much less in a world of restraint and discipline, laws. They were living in a much more natural world, much closer to Pre-Yetzer Hadas. Be bodily, be natural, be yourself, and you'll find spirituality there. Certainly in Gan Eden, the only thing which Adam was legislated was don't eat from the Yetzer Hadas. Don't create confusion vis-a-vis the body. So long as you maintain pristine purity, the body is holy, be yourself. Any sort of mitzvahs, Zayin mitzvahs, the 6 out of 7, on a level of drash, as an undertone. It was an undertone. It wasn't formalized. It wasn't the fixated focus. But now that man has been remade after Mabul, now man is a soul which has retreated from his body, a nefesh eluki which must rise above his nefesh habahamas. Now restraint, law and order, Shev mitzvahs become his new portal. Whole different concept of what morality means. And the truth is, all of us till this very day have a certain mix of feelings, a certain pull in different directions, a sense, on one hand, virtuous through being natural, ava, loving, be yourself, don't stunt yourself, and then another pull on us, more yiridic, more restraint. No, 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 no. You gotta be on top of yourself, you gotta be careful to rein yourself in. Well, I'm gonna argue that we all have a remnant in us and really a residual of the human experience, a human being who in his original model, in his original carnation, was supposed to be a natural being where body and soul come together, be yourself, versus a new world of Noach where you need to rein yourself in. And as much as the Torah, which as we said before, is a rarefied soul without the body of this world, no longer is it 10 utterances of creation in a world and in Gan Eden, but a rarefied Torah, because now soul
needs to be above body. But the Torah incorporates some of the original model, some of the notion that virtue is to be found, not through restraint, but through integration. Finding Hashem in the physical and being fused beings. And this is why Eretz Yisrael, the entire experience of Eretz Zavas Chalvut Vash, is living with Hashem in the physical. In the physical. And Baal Machshava have noted that in the more perfect world, pre-Chorban, they were living very, very naturally. And while Halacha and Torah Shebaal Peh has always been the Torah experience, the Jewish experience, it's much less highlighted in the Nevi'im. Baal Machshava explained that is because in the world in Eretz Yisrael, they were much closer to the Gan Eden model, where of course they're keeping Halacha, but the Halachic experience is not in isolation, not in a vacuum, but through living a wholesome experience on the land, through physicality, and the poring over text is not happening in isolation in a base medrash, but much more integrated with the land. And one example which they love to cite is in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. When Shaul consults the Navi, consults Shmuel regarding where his donkeys are. And you think, that's what you consult a seer of God over? That's what you consult a Gadol B'Yisrael over? Donkeys? The answer is yes. In that more perfect world, spirituality was to be found in physical affairs. Now that defies present consciousness, right? Because we live in a world of Chorban. In a certain sense, a continuation of this cyclical process that with every chayt and every human and Jewish catastrophe, there is more and more of a retreating from the integration model, right? Just what Adam experienced and Noach experienced in the banishment from the Gan and then in the Mabul. We too in Chorban, losing Eretz Yisrael and losing our Gan Eden. Now, we don't really have a concept of spirituality to be found through wholesome engagement with the world. We have to be very restrained, and to us, spirituality is through the intellectualism of Gemara and pulling back from the physical, engaging in mindful sort of activities. But there's a higher model, and one to which we are headed to in Achras Hayam, in Yemos HaMashiach, closer to the Gan Eden experience, and how magnificent from this perspective. The Pasuk in Yeshayahu Nun Aleph, which describes Eretz Yisrael Asalavo in Gan Eden-like terms, Vayasen Kemidbar Eden Ukigan Hashem, because Adam 1.0, Adam in his original model, and even after the Eitz Hadas, pre-Mabul, says something about what the ultimate aspiration is. That is not us anymore. But on some level, it's who we aspire to be. Respecting all of the rules and regulations and the reining ourselves in which we need to do today. Ultimately, we are not just a soul, but we are a composite of soul and body. And we continue to learn Parshis Bereishis and Noach, though it is not our world, it is part of Torah, to impress upon us that in some calibrated sense, even today, the Torah needs to be integrated into life, into our humanity, into the physical world. An Ovid Hashem is not supposed to be this aloof, cerebral, cold, and clinical intellectual, but someone who lives the Torah. His humanity and his love and his nurturance expresses Torah. The way he lives family life in its full wholesomeness expresses Torah. His warmth expresses Torah. Each of us with our own personality and our own tchunas hanefesh. The way a Shabbos is experienced, where consummate spirituality joins consummate physicality of a Suda and good cheer. Well, that's what it means to us, that the experiences of man and the mutations in man
are ultimately relative. At the end of the day, we have some of that original Adam 1.0 in us. May we all be Zocha, not to be aloof, not to be cold clinical intellectuals, but to live Torah in the flesh, in the human experience, in a healthy, holy integration. Amen.